This week, Formula One returns to the venue where the title fight literally exploded this time last year. Will this year be a repeat? Welcome back to Formula One Grid Talk. This is episode 208, where we will preview this year's British Grand Prix. I'm your host, Tom Horrocks, and I'm joined today by Everything F1's Tom Downey.
Hello.
And from Paddock Pals, we have Warren Shaw.
Hello.
Thanks a lot for coming on, guys. If you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and also a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll give you a shout out on Apple if you give us a 5-star review, and we'll mention it on the next show. And if you haven't done so already, why not subscribe to us on YouTube and click the bell to be notified when we go live? We have over 650 subscribers now, and we're looking to grow that as much as possible. We have loads of video content and articles and shorts for you to get your teeth into, and give us a thumbs up as well, and leave a comment because we'd love to hear from you as well. So we're going to preview this week's British Grand Prix. As already alluded to, the championship fight literally just blew into action last year, Tom. And we'll start with your team, Red Bull. Currently have 304 points and a win and a DNF in Canada. Operationally, though, they do seem like they're sharp and on top of things.
Yeah, after a somewhat rocky or perhaps inconsistent start to the season, certainly with reliability, Red Bull really appears to have got on top of the engine issues for the most part. Perez's DNF apparently wasn't engine related; it was transmission related. So maybe that's another reliability thing. We don't know. They're looking like the team to beat now. I still think the Ferrari is a faster car, certainly over a one lap pace through qualifying. There's a reason Leclerc's had four pole positions back to back, and you know, we didn't really get a proper look at Charles' pace in Canada because he wasn't trying that hard in quali because of the penalties he had coming. So it wasn't worth potentially breaking something. Coming into Silverstone this weekend, first of all, I hope, I'm not just saying this because I'm a Red Bull Max fan, I genuinely hope that we don't have a repeat of what happened last year. Not that I think we will. I'm not saying that because Mercedes are further back. I just hope that for everybody's sake that we don't have any accidents or anything half as scary as what we saw yesterday. I also hope that Horner and Newey actually let it go, because I swear to God, if they bring it up this weekend, I'm going to roll my eyes so far back. I'm going to look like something from The Exorcist. I say this as a Red Bull fan. They need to get over it. You know, they can't change what happened, and we all know how last year turned out anyway. So, coming into this weekend, I'm quietly optimistic, but I'm not taking anything for granted in terms of pace.
Yeah, Max Verstappen technically has never actually won the British Grand Prix. He won the 70th anniversary Grand Prix in 2020, but the British version, he's yet to tick off. But he seems to be knocking out a lot of records this sort of last year and certainly this year. So, it's only a matter of time. Ferrari, as you mentioned, though, Tom, are definitely looking like a very quick package at the moment. And Warren, the last win for Ferrari was actually Vettel in 2018. Strong performance in Canada, despite the result. How do you see their weekend panning out?
Obviously, like you said, last weekend with Canada, they didn't really have the two cars ready to go with the duel for Red Bull. I think it would be, without the reliability issues, like something we could see like in Baku, where it looked like we were going to have a nice Red Bull Ferrari duel. They showed the speed in the straight line there. Like you said, they have the best one lap pace out there with how many pulls Leclerc has. If they could just figure out some good strategy for once, and then they could continue to just have the speed, I really think that we could have a nice Red Bull Ferrari duel out there. Something that I feel like we've been let down a little bit since the first couple of races on how many they've really been going back to back with, like, each team having engine issues or gearbox last week, just like issues that they've had. We haven't really had that great duel other than the first couple of weeks of the season. So I think we can get that here. And I hope, like, Charles and Max have that duel he had that was like 2018, right? When they kept going back at each other the whole race. Like, if we have something like that, that would be just incredible stuff. And I hopefully that's what we get.
Yeah, it's certainly the first few races we had lots of duels, and it was just, and we thought if we're going to be in for this all season, we're going to be in for a hell of a season. But like you say, it has tapered off quite a bit. We've not really had that action, unfortunately. But moving on to Mercedes, they've won 8 out of the last 9 British Grand Prix, Tom, and showed strong pace in Canada. Any chance they can make it 9?
I don't think so. You know, I think Mercedes will probably have a decent outing this weekend. Whether they'll win, I don't foresee that happening. You know, they're just, I just don't think that they're quite strong enough. I think they will probably be higher up the grid. However, I don't see them. I don't see them challenging for the win. You know, they might sneak a podium or something. But I think again they might need a bit of luck to fall their way. Whether that's whether that's an accident in front of them or whether that's someone retires with reliability or something. I'm not sure. I think they will need a bit of something to go their way, and I'm not 100% sure if that will really happen.
Yeah, I mean, with Hamilton winning so many of the last few Grand Prix, it's certainly going to be a tall order for him to come back and win another one here. But you never know; they showed some decent pace in Canada, so there's a possibility there. A bit of unreliability, as we've seen a lot from the top teams. It's a possibility, but it's like you say, I think it's fairly unlikely. But moving on to McLaren, Warren. Last McLaren was victory here was in 2008 with that dominant Hamilton wet drive, beg your pardon. But Canada, the car was all over the place, bit of a diva. What's their chances of a strong result this weekend?
I don't know. I think it's hard to tell. I've been reading about everybody's bringing like upgrades and stuff like that coming up this week, and they said that they're bringing like a small upgrades while their teams are doing that. I think McLaren this year has really had an interesting season. Like, they've really had just one driver that's been leaps and bounds better than the other. That's Lando being better than Ricciardo. So you're just trying to figure out, okay, can they get up there? Can Ricciardo get to Lando's pace? That doesn't seem like it's possible. And then the car, like you said, last week in Canada, they have the old engine. It's so slow, this and that. It's been a really mixed bag for me. And I like McLaren, but it's just, I don't really know what else they got. They said they're trying to figure out the setup and all that stuff like that. I know it's their home race. You would think that they would get things going together. I don't know. I think Alpine has shown more pace and more promise the last couple of races than McLaren. And to me, that's pretty surprising. I thought McLaren was going to be the fourth car on the grid this year. So they're going to be in a battle with them. I don't know if they're going to be able to handle the Alpines this week. And they seem like probably like the fifth car on the grid right now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously McLaren fan here, so I'm obviously going to be hoping for a return to the 2008 result. Very unlikely, obviously, but yeah, you certainly what you say about Alpine looking like the stronger team at the moment. Personally, I think the McLaren looks like it's got an overall better top end, certainly in the hands of Lando Norris, but we're just sitting 8 points behind McLaren. We'll go to Alpine and joining us a bit late than ever, we've got Olivia Kyrou here. Thank you for joining us, Olivia, and I'm just going to throw you straight in at the deep end to talk about Alpine. They seem to have a strong car on every track, whereas the McLaren seems to be a little bit more peaky, sitting just 8 points behind McLaren. Should they be well clear of McLaren already and be looking at closer to Mercedes, or are they kind of where they should be?
Hi, thank you for having me, and I'm so sorry I jumped on really late.
No problem.
But it's actually quite interesting that you mentioned that McLaren's are still ahead of Alpine, because even that slipped my mind. In my head, Alpine's way ahead of McLaren's, considering that they've had quite a few solid results, a few more, it seems like a few more points finishes. Last weekend at the Montreal circuit, both cars seemed really solid. I think the only downfall would be that the team dropped the ball with Alonso's strategy. I mean, finishing P9 behind your teammate in P. Wait, what did he finish? I think P9?
I think he was P9. Ninth after the
penalty.
Yeah, he finished eighth, I believe, and then dropped to ninth after the penalty.
Yeah. So I feel like the team dropped the ball, especially with him starting P2. But the car does seem to be much more solid than the McLarens. So it is surprising that they aren't above the McLarens in the standings right now. So hopefully for them, and sadly for McLaren, things take a turn in Silverstone. But yeah, it's surprising to have them so well up ahead. I mean, Fernando finished P7 last year in Silverstone, so hopefully a higher result, if not a good one, still ahead of the McLarens for them, because they seem to be quite the solid runner for top of the midfield right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably the battle that we need to be looking at. Potentially, if Mercedes get their act together, they could put a bit of pressure on Ferrari if Ferrari continue doing Ferrari things. But I think the battle we're going to be looking at is probably going to be McLaren versus Alpine for the rest of the season. But just behind Alpine, the second of the A teams all lined up next to each other in the championship, we've got Alfa Romeo. Last time Alfa Romeo won a Silverstone Grand Prix was Giuseppe Farina in the first ever World Championship race. So I'm not sure we're going to see a repeat of that 70-odd years later. But Bottas beaten Zhou in every race so far this season. But Zhou certainly showing some good pace this last time out. Tom, sorry, I'm a little bit still on honeymoon. I think my mouth hasn't recovered yet. So yeah, it's that came out wrong. I'm going to move on to you, Tom. So Alfa Romeo, how's their weekend going to go?
I'm not going to comment on anything you just said. Alfa Romeo, I am quietly optimistic. I think that's going to be my phrase of the podcast today, because I've been impressed with Zhou Guanyu. He was on for a very good result in Baku before he had to DNF with mechanical issues. You know, he's holding his own against Bottas, and Bottas is playing the mentor role really, really well. It's just, you know, the car looks decent. You know, maybe it's a definite midfield car. Where in the midfield, I'm not quite sure, because that midfield is so tightly contested this year. But you know, they can definitely have a good outing. I think we can see at least one car into Q3. You know, maybe even both of them at the expense of, I don't like to say it, but maybe at the expense of the McLarens. You know, just the I think the thing for Alfa Romeo, Sauber or whatever they're called, is it's going to be the power unit reliability, and you know, not even the reliability as such, because it may well be, you know, that the power unit may well be fine, but there've been so many issues recently with the Ferrari power unit, and it's I'm sure I was watching one of the F1 tech shows or post-race shows or something. I'm sure it was Sam, I can't remember his surname, but the guy with the incredible afro who hosts the stuff on the F1 YouTube channel. I can't remember his surname
now. I want to say Sam Collins, but I could be wrong.
I think you're right. But anyway, I was watching something with, I'm sure it was him and Lawrence Barreto, and they were saying that it was either the MGUH or the MGUK. I think it was the MGUH, because that's what harvests the energy. Again, I can't quite remember. But they were saying that Ferrari had introduced an upgrade in one of those, starting with Leclerc in Spain. And that's where they started having the reliability issues. So, you know, Alfa Romeo will probably be having sort of niggles in the back of their mind, thinking, oh, heck, is the car actually going to make it all the way around? You know, are we going to be able to go through the whole race, you know, without us, you know, having to say to our drivers, you know, please back off, please slow down, please, you know, this, that, or, you know, or indeed, you know, say we're going to have to bring the car in and retire it, because you know, Zhou Guanyu, you know, I know he's not got an awful lot of points this year so far. I don't think that's an accurate representation of how he's been this year. You know, he's been, you know, Bottas has obviously taught him a lot. Bottas has also taught him how to be unlucky in luck, it seems. With reliability issues and what have you. So if their car can hold it together for the whole weekend, I think they could be on for certainly a decent quali and hopefully some double points for them.
Yeah, I think, like you say, there's certainly that Ferrari power unit has not done them any favours this year with regards to the reliability. And Zhou has definitely been the more unlucky of the two drivers. I think he needs to improve in a lot of areas, but he is still a rookie. So and a great finish last time out, slightly fortuitous due to the Fernando Alonso penalty. But even so, he had to be on track at the end there to make it work. So moving on to AlphaTauri then, Warren, 27 points. Bit of a low points total from what we're used to in recent years from AlphaTauri, but still their best result at Silverstone is seventh place in 2020. No points out last time. It's a bit of a make or break time for them, I think, for the season now. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think when you look down, you'd be surprised to see how low they are in the standings for the overall season. It's like they obviously have Pierre back for next year. They confirmed that, but that's also like, where else is Pierre going to really go right now? I think he's kind of just in like a waiting game to get into a better car potentially. And Yuki, I mean, he's just a wild card out there. Like, he just punts it off into the stands out of the pit stop, trying too hard. Like, who knows what you're going to get from that little guy out there. But yeah, I thought they would be faster this year. Like, Pierre was great in qualifying last year. Just, I don't really know what's going on. I think the Red Bull engine is pretty strong. We see that with Max and Sergio's car on the top team. So, you know that, but it just seems like the setup, they haven't gotten it right. Something like that. Like, I feel like AlphaTauri should at least be getting one, potentially two cars to Q3 most weeks than not. And they should be fighting for some points finish. Our strategy's gone against themselves, but I've actually been surprised how poor they've been this season. I thought they would be fighting up with Alpine up there, but they don't have it this year. I don't know what to pinpoint it on.
Yeah, potentially a bit of a legacy in that they take a lot of stuff from Red Bull, but given that this car is a completely new concept for every team, they haven't got that opportunity and they've kind of maybe fallen back into their natural position. Certainly, I think pace-wise, the Haas has had a much better package than them, but yet they still trail at least, was it 12 points behind them, and Aston Martin was certainly expecting bigger things. So I think that the car really is an eighth, ninth place team car at the moment, which is a bit disappointing from what we used to in recent times. But Aston Martin will be just as disappointed with their performance, if not more so, Olivia. And no best result in modern times for Aston Martin, just eighth place last year, 10th and 12th in the last race. Doesn't really show what the pear-flavoured Red Bull can do, does it?
Aston Martin, no. It's odd with Aston Martin, especially here in Canada, because I was at the race in Montreal just last weekend and no one was cheering for any of the Canadians, which was quite interesting because Stroll had quite a good race last weekend, which was quite surprising. But it's odd because usually you expect not much from the team, and I'm going into next weekend with the same thought, that not to expect much from Aston Martin. It could be a wild card as well, seeing as they are home. So I don't know. I really don't know what to be expecting from Aston Martin other than what we've been seeing right now or previously. Hopefully it's a case of they're bringing new upgrades, which could hopefully push the team forward. But there's not much to be really saying about Aston Martin at this point, because it's not like we're receiving as much from them consistently on and on each weekend. I mean, last weekend was a good change of pace for one driver, Lance Stroll. But again, Vettel was on the same set of tires for, what, 50 laps, which is quite strange, seeing as how he was also able to finish in, what was it, 12th, which is interesting. But I don't know, there's not much consistency other than really close to the bottom. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Aston Martin certainly did drop the ball a little bit on strategy last weekend, and Vettel certainly had a shot of points at the end there had he been allowed to do what he was saying he wanted to do. My opinion there. But yeah, I think they're kind of in that holding pattern at the moment where they've got these new upgrades. The car is clearly better. They showed that pace in practice and looked like they turned a corner, but then the race just got away from them and potentially they could be right on the verge of setting out after AlphaTauri in that championship, maybe even Alfa Romeo if they continue to have engine issues. Obviously, they've got the Mercedes engine, so they don't have to worry about the Ferrari issues. But another car that does have that Ferrari engine and probably should be a lot higher than they are, which we're not accustomed to saying about Haas, Tom, is the Haas team. Strong car for most of the year, but still ninth in the championship. And surely there must be an improvement on their best ever performance at Silverstone this weekend on the cars, which was ninth place for Magnussen in 2018. What do you think about Haas this weekend? Could we see Mick finally get those first points?
I feel like us talking about Mick getting points is a bit like when we were talking about it's like when we're talking about George Russell getting points for Williams. It seems to be that we're cursing it every time we're talking about it. So I'm not even going to touch it because I really thought he was going to get there in Canada and then he had the mechanical DNF. You made a good point about Haas. You know, they are ninth in the championship, which is, you know, for all the sort of promises we've seen from them this season, you know, their first race weekend in Bahrain, you know, they look so strong, and obviously they're both cars in Q3, and they looked at the third row. You know, for a team last year that was languishing at the back of the grid and would be lucky if they got a car off one of the back two rows of the grid, for them to have to lock out the third row on merit. Okay, yeah, I know Perez and Leclerc weren't there, so you know, so it, you know, it could have probably more likely been the fourth row, you know, had everybody been there, but they still did it. You know, they were still there. You know, they still got the cars out in the first place. They've been hit by some terrible reliability and bad luck again. The reliability, much like Alfa Romeo, you know, seems to be power unit related. You know, we saw Mick retire. And as for K-Mac, I want to make a bit of a point here, in that I think or I feel that whoever made the decision to throw the black and yellow flag for Magnussen was far too influenced by what other drivers were saying, because that front wing, you know, okay, right, I'm not an aerodynamicist. I never will be, and that's absolutely fine. I'm an IT nerd. Look at me. But that front wing, yeah, okay, there was a bit of damage, but it didn't cause a puncture. It wasn't having any lasting effects on Magnussen's car. There was nothing looking like it was going to fly off. It didn't appear to lose any of its structural rigidity. And if it would have done, Haas would have pitted him anyway. You know, they wouldn't have wanted to, but they would have done. So you know, K-Mac said it felt fine. The engineer said, you know, we can see it. You know, they said, obviously, you're going to lose a bit of front wing downforce. I think it was the front right-hand side. You know, but they said you'll be fine to carry on. Then Ocon comes on the radio and says, "Oh, we need a black and orange flag. That's dangerous." Blah blah blah. And you know, all the commentators were saying, you know, it should be all right. Then next thing you know, black and yellow flag gets thrown, and it just screwed Magnussen's race, especially then with the VSE coming out after. So even though, you know, the cars around him were, you know, pitted under the VSE, they didn't lose as much time, because as we all know, VSC, you lose less time, you know, as opposed to a regular pit stop. So, you know, that was a bit of a sort of double and then triple blow with a second VSC for Magnussen. So I definitely feel like, well, I say definitely, you know, I do feel like the FIA and whoever else were very, very easily influenced in that decision. So But, you know, that's my side rant for the day. I'm trying to keep more on track these days. But my mind just goes, ooh, piece of candy, and wanders off. With regards to Haas this weekend, one thing I don't want to see is any of them doing a repeal of Grosjean in 2019 when he did a pit lane pirouette at the end of the pit lane. And I still, to this day, don't know how he managed to do that. I think that's actually quite impressive, to be honest. I want to see them do well. I want to see them, obviously, you know, I do want to see them both get points. That car can score points. We've seen it, okay? That car can score points. We've seen its qualifying pace. We've seen its decent race pace. I don't want to curse it, but Mick was holding decent pace in Canada. And Silverstone is a circuit which he'll know from his junior series and obviously racing there last year, all the rest of it. So hopefully we can see something good for Haas this weekend. Hopefully, I'm not saying it's going to happen because I don't want to curse it, but hopefully we can see just something good for them this weekend or next weekend.
It just reminds me of the George Howson predictions of points for George Russell all last season, and then it finally happened. So who knows? Yeah, the one time he didn't predict it, it happened, I think. So moving on to the last team in the championship, which certainly not what they were hoping for at the start of the season. Mr. Consistency, Nick Latifi, continues to pump in those 16th places with absolute clockwork, and Albon just yo-yoing in and out of the points, just 3 points to their name, Warren. And I saw a stat this morning said their pits stops nearly a second slower on average than they were last year, the worst team for pit stops, which is not something we're used to hearing from Williams. Is it just a bad year, or is this something kind of more systemic that they need to get on top of?
Obviously, it seems like the pit stops, they got to figure something out there if they've been consistently slower so far. I also do think like they have one hand tied behind their back with Latifi out there. I know we all joke at the Mr. Consistency thing, but they have one guy, an Albon, who has really driven, I think, pretty well for what the car is giving this year, being able to get 3 points. He's the only driver that can really even try and get ninth or tenth or get out of Q2. Like, Latifi's just shown absolutely nothing this year. Like, it's they pretty much have one driver out there. It's just, that's had their hands tied behind their back. I think everybody's still trying to figure out the new car they have, upgrades they said for this week. So I didn't really have high expectations for Williams this year with just the driver lineup. Obviously, I thought Albon was going to have a pretty solid year. I think so far that we could say that he's had a really good year. But with Latifi, I mean, we've seen what he's been so far in F1, his career, and it really hasn't been a big bag of nothing. So why should we expect anything different? So I think with what their driver lineup is, and then the car so far, this is probably the best we're looking at right now. And they said they're bringing, I said, major upgrades this week. Who knows? Everybody is, but I would just have to say they would have to figure it out for next year. We start looking to next year for Williams, and off we go to 2023.
Yeah, and their car is probably the most similar in concept to the Mercedes, which has obviously had all kinds of problems all season. So I think I'm with you on that one. I think potentially it might be time to maybe sack off the rest of this season and look to next season. There's going to be pretty much stable rules, but maybe a change in concept, save the money off the budget, put it all towards next year's design, and maybe try again. But I think there's certainly some inherent issues with that car. But you've heard what all the panel have had to say about the teams. Now we're going to move on to predictions. So I'll start with you, Olivia. Put you straight into the hot seat then. So predictions. So if we pole position, your podium, and we'll come to the bold prediction after. So just your predictions for pole position and the podium for the race for this weekend.
I think my pole position would be, I feel like, a Charles Leclerc, because he's been quite consistent with the qualifying situation, I guess. I would also put both Ferraris up in the podium. So hopefully it's Carlos in P1. That's me being very optimistic. So a Carlos in P1, Verstappen P2 and Charles in P3, just to spice things up. But yeah, I think that's what it's going to look like.
Certainly would spice things up. Tom, what do you think? Pole and podium?
Pole, I think my boy Max is going to get it. I think the shove that Red Bull has got, I think, you know, going down the Wellington straight, the Hanger straight, the Hamilton straight now, obviously, that we have, I think he will just do it. For the podium, I can say Max is going to win. I think Leclerc will come home second. I'm going to change that. This is probably also going to be my bold prediction, all in one. I think Max is going to win. I think Leclerc's going to bin it because I think I think he's realised, oh, heck, I've had a massive championship swing. I need to get back into it. A bit like Silverstone last year. There we go.
Thought you weren't going to mention it.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. No, I think Leclerc will be, I don't think he'll crash out, but I think he'll, you know, maybe spin or, you know, go wide or something and drop back through the field. And then I think Sainz will be out there. So I think Sainz will take P2 and then P3. I think provided Perez's car doesn't chew itself, I think he'll finish P3.
Okay, so that's certainly not going to explode into life, the championship, based on your predictions. It's more going to kind of explode into Max running away with it. But
fingers crossed.
moving on to you then, Warren. What's your thoughts for the predictions for the weekend then?
Oh, I'm going to say Leclerc is going to get pole. I mean, I think that's pretty standard in the dry so far this year, so why should we deviate from that? But he's not going to win. Max is going to win, and then Ferrari is going to continue I think from pretty poor strategy. So I'm going to say both of them don't finish off the podium. We're going to get another Red Bull 1-2 with Perez in second, and I'm going to say Lewis is going to knock back-to-back podiums. He's going to get third again, and that's where I'm at on the podium.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I've not actually looked at the weather yet. I just thought I'd have a quick look now as you're talking, and it's looking like we might potentially get a bit of rain on Friday, early doors. So hopefully that'll get delayed onto Saturday and Sunday and spice the weekend up a little bit. Back to back podiums for Lewis would certainly make the crowd happy in the absence of a Hamilton win. I think that's probably the best they can really hope for. Okay. So moving on to bold predictions then, give us something to get excited about and look out for, Olivia. What's your bold prediction?
I'm kind of inching towards a Hamilton win because it's Silverstone and I don't know. But I think my podium already was quite out there, really, because of just like the reshuffling. But it's also just me being optimistic and really, really rooting for Sainz after the debacle of last weekend. So I guess it's either or a Hamilton win as my bold prediction. And my podium is also looking kind of bold as well. So one of the two. I hope that answers that.
Okay. And Tom?
Sorry, I was reading a work email.
No, bold prediction, mate.
I think I've kind of already covered mine. I think Leclerc will a little bit overdo it. And he'll perhaps squander a bit of an opportunity.
Okay, and Warren, your bold prediction?
I'm going to say that George Russell is going to finish outside of the top five. I don't think he's done it so far this season. This will be the race that he will finish outside of the top five.
Okay, fantastic. So that's our predictions for the British Grand Prix. Do let us know your predictions in the comments. We love to hear from you. Have a bit of a debate. If you're in the live chat now, stick them in the comments now, and we'll debate them in the post show. I'm just going to go around now. Give everyone on today has got other projects that they're involved with, and they come along here to help us with this show as well. So I'll start with you, Olivia. Anything you want to plug?
The Chicane Crew podcast. We recently did a Canadian Grand Prix show, and it was special because we were all there. So it was kind of like a first-hand situation. So the chicane can broadcast.
Okay, and I think we'll probably get onto that a little bit in the post-show as well. I'd like to find out more about that. I'll go to Warren next, as Tom's just taking a drink of something.
I'm on the Paddock Pals podcast. My cousin Rachel and I do that. We had Sean Kelly, who I think you've talked to before. He's the stats guy. He was on a couple of weeks ago with our Canada preview. He was good. So we have that episode, and then we'll do a preview. But you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and go check us out at Paddock Pals.
Cool. Fancy. Yeah, Sean's always a great guest. Look out for Sean at Virtual Statman on Twitter. He's great value. Always likes to debate with anyone. Doesn't matter who you are. Okay, Tom, do you want to give a plug for everything F1?
Yeah, so as I'm sure most people are more than aware by now, I'm part of Everything F1. You can find us across all your favorite social media platforms, so Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok. I don't even know what people use these days. So any of your favorite social media and platforms. You can find us either at Join the F1 or at Everything F1. We have our website, everythingf1.com, YouTube channel, Everything F1, and also our podcast, which is the Everything F1 podcast, which is available on all of your favorite podcasting platforms and our website.
Okay, and if you want to hear any more from me, I'm at Tom Horrocks F1 on Twitter, and I do the Monkey Seat podcast with my mate Carl, and I hopefully will be a bit less podcast ring rusty next time we do it. It's been a few weeks since I've done this, so it's amazing how quickly you forget the most basic things. That's it for this show. We will do a post show where we just chat about a few of the topics around F1 and any comments that you've put in. If you want to hear more from Formula One Grid Talk, we have a huge back catalogue of shows where you can get your teeth into those. Our race shows do all go out live on YouTube straight after the event, and the audio version will be up slightly later on, which you can get on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, Omni Studio, and Pocket Cast. We also run a Patreon, so if you want to help us continue to do what we're doing, then please consider donating to us, and everything that we raise from that goes straight back into the show to help your experience. You can also support us by buying merchandise from the F1 Chronicle store, like this lovely mug I've got here. You can get that all at f1chronicle.com/store. We will be back this Saturday to review qualifying from the British Grand Prix, so we will see you then.